And I hope that you know today that the God that would do that, those types of things for Brian, Vanamala, and Camden today is the same God that would do these things for us. And I don't know about you, I need a miracle in my life. I need God to finish the testimonies that he's working on in my life as well. But it also means, and today we hope that we will leave this place empowered, it means that we get to tell others about this kind of God. The kind of God that saves, the kind of God that heals, the kind of God that shows up and changes everything, sometimes gradually and sometimes immediately. Amen. So I want to read today very quickly our text, and then we're going to go to prayer. Just keep standing for a few moments with me as well. I want to read to us a very quick passage, and it's going to be a short word tonight as we get ready to close out. There is something that God still wants to do in our lives before we leave this place. John 5, and this is our text for today. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate was a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which had five roof colonnades. And in these lay a multitude of invalids, crippled people, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been there a long time. And he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once, the man was healed, and he took up his bed, and he walked. Let's pray together. Father, today, Lord, just in a few moments, oh God, Lord, you've been in this place this whole evening. Lord, we've felt your presence. Lord, we never take it for granted, dear God. Lord, what a privilege, what an honor, what a joy, dear God. But we also recognize you've came to this world on a mission. Lord, you came to reveal the works of God. Lord, to heal the broken, to save the lost, to transform lives, oh God, that are stuck, that are crippled, that are blind, that are paralyzed, and that are lame. Lord, today, Lord, we know you're in this place to do this work. God, would you do it in us, Lord, and also for those that are online. Lord, for our loved ones, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. Well, we heard these powerful testimonies tonight, and I believe there are many testimonies today in the mid-process, midway. And sometimes it's good to get up here and to share a testimony when God has done the work. But sometimes God is midway, and that's where we sometimes lose heart, right? And so today I want to open us up today with the last two verses. I want to begin with the ending because I want us to know where we're going. And so I want to read to us very quickly the last two verses that we just read from our passage. And Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up the bed, and he walked. And I want us to remember today, we heard such wonderful things, and sometimes we just have this temptation to hear what God has done for others and then descend back into the hole in the pit of our current reality and just kind of be stuck there. And I just want to remind us today of something, that Jesus has come for this work that we just read about. Jesus has come to do a work, to invite us into a kind of life where he speaks to us a word, we hear the word, and we begin to obey, and we begin to get up and walk into all the things that he's prepared for us. Amen? And I just want to mention really quickly, there's in the Gospel of Mark, the author of the Gospel of Mark, he would add this phrase to miracles, the kinds of miracle stories that we are talking about tonight, and the type of situations that you and I might be facing today and what God wants to do. The Gospel writer of Mark, he would add this phrase, "and immediately." In fact, it's used 40 times in the Gospel of Mark. And so I want to remind us today that God has called us. Don't forget, no matter where you are today, God has always intended for us to be an immediately kind of people of God, where God calls us, where God speaks to us, and suddenly there is a work of God of healing in our lives. There is a work of faith in our lives, and we get up and we begin to go into all the things that God has for us. Amen? Can somebody say amen? Praise God. Amen. That was a good hearty amen. And so that is the life that God has prepared for us, no matter where you're at. It's a robust life. It's a life where we wait to hear the voice of God. It's a life where we seek for the voice of God, for the things that God would do, ready with faith to respond. It's a great life. Sometimes maybe you've experienced that. There have been seasons that you've gone through where it was like that, where suddenly God's voice is there and suddenly you're just getting up out of the thing that you find yourself. And it's a robust life. It's an incredible life. It's a fast pace. But there are also seasons where God begins to slow down the pace of things just a little bit because he wants to do a work of discipline and discipleship, because there are gaps in our maturity, where there are gaps in our character, where our character and our maturity have to catch up to our faith. And so that pace of the supernatural, that very life that God died to give us, would have to slow down just a little bit because God has to do some work in our lives. And that's okay. And that's okay, but we still know what God has called us to, but because after God is finished, we can return to that life of faith and life of supernatural walking with the Lord. But there are also seasons, and this is where we're going to focus our attention just for a few minutes this evening. There are also seasons where God begins to bring in some serious storm clouds in our lives, some serious testing, some serious pressures. And this is when the pace really starts to slow down. And sometimes the pace even comes to a complete standstill, because God knows that there is something deep at the very core, in the root system of our faith, of our personality, of our identity, of our spiritual person. There's something at the root level. There's something at the foundational level that's there, that's going to potentially sabotage all that God has prepared for us in our future, in our calling, in the things that he has prepared in our destiny. And so God has to slow everything down. God has to bring incredible pressures from every direction to begin to draw things out. And just hear me on this, things that are in there that we don't ever even want to believe that are in there. You see, because at the core, at the root level, there are things down deep inside that maybe we've believed that are not true. And they've got intertwined, they've got baked in with the things that God has spoken, with the promises that God has made, with the words that God has pronounced over us during worship and during times of visitations of the Lord. And right alongside of all the wonderful things that God has done and said, there are also these things there that we are not even aware of. Not true things that we believe, that we even act on, and we don't even know it. And so I want to just jump into the story today. And I want to just kind of maybe just take a few moments to notice the obvious. It was a holiday. It was a Sabbath. And the Bible draws our attention to a particular region in Jerusalem. It was by the Sheep Gate. So it was a holiday. It was a service day. Right? And the Sheep Gate was an entrance to the temple. In fact, it was a special entrance. It would have been a congested entrance, a busy, a buzzing entrance. Not only were people coming into church for service on that particular day, but the Sheep Gate is where the sheep would go. It was the place where the cattle and the sacrificial animals would come in for worship. But even more so, the writer of the Gospel of John also begins to draw our attention to a very, very specific location, and it was the Pool of Bethesda. Bethesda means the house of mercy. Bethesda means the house of grace. Bethesda was a reservoir area where rainwater would collect. And in a wilderness environment such as where this location was, water was precious. It was a life source. And so what we have here is a busy day at church, and there is a source of water, and it's a house of grace and a house of mercy. And also there was a multitude of crippled, paralyzed, blind, and lame people. And Jesus was there. Of all the places that Jesus chose to be, he chose to go to this group surrounding this life source. But I just want to notice one more detail. This pool was by the entrance to the temple, but it was on the outside of the temple. And I just want to just pause here for a few moments and just talk about these areas of brokenness in our lives That God would allow certain things. But the Bible begins to tell us that there was a multitude. Yes, in the house of God can be a multitude of paralyzed people, along with all the good things that are going on in God's house, amongst all the testimonies that we might hear, where God is delivering, where God is healing, where God is setting free, where people are coming alive and entering into their destinies. And all the while, amongst all of those things and all those individuals, there are also people that are paralyzed. They are near. They're so near. They can hear the preaching. They can hear the offerings. They can hear the worship go up. They can hear the sacrifices being made. They can even begin to smell the aroma of the presence of God coming out of the temple, but they are still on the outside, surrounding the water source in the house of grace, in the house of mercy, but on the outside. And the Bible also begins to use a specific word, a multitude, many in God's house, and very long, 38 years. Anybody, don't raise your hand. Anybody been stuck for a long time? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hands. God knows who you are. And I just love that this is also where Jesus was. Maybe everybody else coming in and out of the house of God was too busy to notice. Maybe they wouldn't even want to notice. I've prayed for brother so-and-so over and over and over again. God's just not doing it. I'm just not today. But Jesus was not too busy. Jesus was not going to pass them by. And so, but I want to draw our attention to this particular thing that begins to happen. It's a unique story. It's a very quick miracle. There really is so much in there, but you might not see it at just first glance. And I want to draw, there's a key to this entire miracle story and passage, and I want to draw our attention to it. It is this odd question that Jesus begins to ask this paralyzed man, this crippled man. Jesus asked him this question. He says, do you want to be healed? Now, if anybody else asked that question, I think we would scoff as New Yorkers, as all of you that are with us online. We might just scoff and say, what kind of question, insensitive question is that? Here is a man in the near God's house. He's crippled. Are you mocking him? Of course he wants to be healed. But Jesus, he always asks the right question and for a good purpose. Jesus always asks the right question. I want to ask you a question today. I don't know about you, but I've been stuck. I've been crippled. I've been blind. I've been there. And I still sometimes find myself there. Sometimes God deals with it quickly, and sometimes God doesn't deal with it quickly. But I want to ask you a question. If you've been stuck in that place, and you know who you are, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, today is your day because Jesus is here. Today, let me say that again. Today is your day because Jesus is here. But let me ask you a very honest question. I want you to be honest with yourself and before the Lord. Why not be healed today? I know some people gave some great responses here. But if you've been stuck for a really long time, that is not a question you want to be asked. Because the truth is, Jesus is asking this question not to get the obvious answer. He's asking this question to begin to draw something out. There is something restraining this man from his healing, because do you realize who is standing before this man? The sheep gate where the sacrificial animals and lambs would come in. Who is standing before this man? All of the procession and all of the service and all of the worship and all of the sacrifices going on for centuries and millennia in this house are all pointing to Jesus. And now Jesus is standing before this man, the same Jesus that is standing before you and I today. If we're dealing with situations, with bondages, with strongholds, with things at the root level that maybe you've gone to the altar and you've prayed and you've cried and you've wept, you've been to the prayer and fasting services, you've gone up to this line every time there was a prayer line up here. And maybe it's been 38 years that you've done that. And in the meanwhile, you've stopped praying. In the meanwhile, you've stopped asking. And in the meanwhile, you began to say, well, maybe, you know, I'm not sure, but let me just look online. Let me look on podcasts. Let me just check out what brother so-and-so did and pastor so-and-so, how he got his breakthrough. And then you began to take notes and you began to figure out, how exactly did they get their breakthrough? How exactly did they get this God to do all that he's promised? Because it ain't working in my life. And what begins to happen is we form these formulas. I want to share a word to you today. A word today is no more formulas, nor when our formula gives way to the gospel. That's the title of my message today. That today, God is going to break these things that stand before us and the Christ that is speaking into our lives. And the very things that hold us on the outside of all that God wants to do is these formulas, these methodologies that we've picked up. It's a religious root system. Amen. God wants to deal with the heart, and God wants to deal with all the things at the core and the root level in our lives. And he's taking his time because he wants to draw these things out. In the meanwhile, we get discouraged, we get ashamed, we get embarrassed, and we get fed up of waiting on God. I want to share just a quick personal story on this note as we get ready to bring this to a close. During COVID, I had an incredibly dark and painful season like this, a crippling season. I entered the ministry, my wife and I, we entered the ministry at a little church in Long Island. It was supernatural. Just dropped in our lap. Somebody invited us to come and minister at this little church. The pastor was there for 43 years. His wife was very, very elderly, very sick, and they just could not do it. They were looking for a pastor for a very long time, could not find anybody. And finally, it dropped in my lap. They asked me if I would do it. My father-in-law, who was a minister in that organization. And the Lord just said to me, I'm in it. Just give me a chance. And so I went. It was the hardest thing. It was the craziest thing. I was the janitor. I was the Sunday school teacher. I was the preacher, and I was the closer outer, right? So it was insane. We spent 3.5 years there. Our youngest daughter at the time was 6 months old. All of the people just kept making it known that they did not want a crying baby in service. So our wife would spend the winters in the boiler room in the basement around the boiler because it was the only warm place. And it was a season of hardship, and it was a season of miracles, and God was so faithful. And after 3.5 years, God let us out, and he brought us back to Times Square Church, where we've spent many years. It was awesome. And then after a year of rest, God just supernaturally, it was supernatural, the way that God began to invite us to begin to minister here. And so we entered and began to lead the young adults here. And the first year was incredible. It really was like Jesus calling Peter out on the water. It was scary, it was hard, it was crazy, but somehow I found myself walking on the waves. But my drowning moment was coming because COVID hit. And when COVID hit, the whole world was in disarray. And it was very dark. It was scary. It was terrifying. The whole world changed. The church changed. I was very young in the ministry. And suddenly the Lord just changed the way that he would speak to me. Suddenly, I found the Lord just, I could not easily break into his presence. And I turned bitter. I turned angry. I stopped seeking him. And it was God drawing something out in me because I knew how desperately I needed him. And I could not seem to find him, but I stopped trusting him. And as I turned bitter, I had to continue to minister. I had to continue to play the role. And so I began to develop my own methodologies and my own formulas. And they just weren't working. But it looked like they were working. And it took a long time because really in my heart, I stopped seeking God. I stopped trusting God. We heard today in the testimonies, Brian, Vanamala and Camden Vanamala said this one line. She said, when my mother died, I turned atheist. When my mother died, I stopped believing. There are times, there are things that God begins to draw out in your lives when the pressures and the testing and the hard things come, and there is suddenly arises a bitterness. I thought God was judging me. I thought God was mad at me. It's because I did not know the gospel. And so I found myself in this long season stuck where God would come in services, in worship times, and he would just be speaking to me, do you want to be healed? And what I found myself doing, I don't know if anybody had done that here before, I was not hearing the gospel, and it's as if I didn't necessarily want the gospel to work. I wanted my formula to work. I wanted what I had come to believe to work. I wanted what I wanted God to do. And I just want to just put this formula up on the screen. I don't know if we could find it really quickly. This is how our spiritual formulas work. It's when we want to control the outcome. We want to force the hand of God, the miraculous, the supernatural, plus our own good intentions or what we think is good for God to do, plus our own interpretation of the Bible. And here's what it ultimately all comes down to. God will not be controlled by our formulas. God's hand will not be forced. And so, you know, if you wondered why so long, 38 years is a long time. Maybe you're here in this place, and it's been a long time. Why? Why, God? Why? You have not looked to the gospel. You've forgotten why he's come. I've had this question since I was even a young Christian, and I've found myself through the years at times, God, how do I make this work? I believe it. I believe it till I'm blue in the face. How do I make it click? How do I make it work? And I just, as we get ready to close out today, I want to invite you all to stand as we get ready to close out tonight. We heard such powerful testimonies about what God has done for our three folks from online. We're so grateful for them, for Brian, for Vanamala, for Camden. But today is the day of your testimony. And just this one thought, our formulas must give way to the gospel. Our formulas, our methodologies, our religious obsessions. Pastor Carter preached this message a few weeks ago, and he mentioned this one phrase. He mentioned the pearl of great price. And he's just so touched me and blessed me. God invites us to give him everything. He doesn't demand that we give him everything. But he says, if you want to come, if you really want to be mine, if you really want to know me, if you want to experience me, if you want to be my representative, if you want to be my disciple, you got to give me everything. And so we have this parable in the Gospels of the pearl of great price. And the way that it goes is there is this merchant that travels the whole world, and he knows things of value. He knows when he sees something valuable. And so he's accumulated things of value all through his life, all through his travels, all through his business transactions. He's accumulated a lot of things that he thinks are very valuable until the day he comes across something he's never seen before. Something that is so beautiful that it far outweighs the value of anything that he has. And he's so mesmerized, he's so gripped by the beauty of what he has found that he sells everything he has because he took everything he has to have what he found in this pearl. Jesus is the pearl. If you understand, Jesus is the pearl. Let me make it a little bit more real for us. There's a story in the Old Testament. Jacob falls in love with Rachel, and he's madly in love. And Laban, the tricky uncle, he's not an honest man, but he forces Jacob to work for 7 years to have what he loves. The Bible mentions this one phrase. It's just so beautiful. He says, and to Jacob, these 7 years were but a day because of his love for Rachel. Do you know that's how Jesus feels about you? that Jesus had to come to this world for 33 years. He had to be antagonized by the Pharisees. He had to be pursued and persecuted in all the ways that he was. He was nailed and crucified on a cross, practically naked, to save you. And it was all but a day for him because he loved you. Our pearl is the gospel that God loves you and he is God alone. And at the word, at the command of his word, everything happens according to what he says. He is God and there is none like him. And he set his eye upon you. This is what you've always looked for. This is the pearl of great price. And to have it, you got to give everything. This is the gospel. The reason why you're stuck is you forgot about the pearl. The reason why you can't get the healing that is yours and it's right in front of you is because you're obsessed with your religious formulas and methodologies. Let it go tonight. The way you get the words of Christ to come alive and work in you is you understand why he came. This is why he came. He came to save us. Amen. So tonight, we're going to open these altars. We're going to pray. I have a mandate. I have to finish at 8:45, so we're going to have to make it quick. I want to invite you tonight. If you don't know Jesus, you can come to know him like Brian, Vanamala, and Camden tonight. Tonight could be your day. Today could be the day that your burdens will drop to the ground, and you will find Jesus, and the new life will begin. Also, I want to invite you, if you've been stuck, whether you've been stuck for a short time or for a long time, and you've just been bitter and obsessed, just like this crippled man. Somebody always beat him to the pool. Today, you can meet Jesus at the pool. Amen. Would you begin to come as we worship for a few minutes? Are we going to pray? Amen. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Tonight we've seen Jesus. We've heard Jesus. He's here. We know what he does. We know what he's come to do. And we know what he wants to offer us today. Today, do you want to be healed? Whether that's for the very first time and to be saved, whether that's of a situation that you feel like it just keeps surprising you, it comes every now and again, or whether it's just something that's followed you always, like Brian mentioned today, just something that would come to ruin his life and would not leave him alone. Today is the day because Jesus came for that very reason. And so right now, just pray in your own words while I pray for you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, the things you've come to do, now do, oh God, as we open our hearts, Lord, and we get rid of all religion, all superstition, God, all limitations, all disappointments, all bitterness. We believe what you say, that you loved us and you died for us. So our response today is yes and amen. Oh God, when you say if we want to be healed, our answer is yes, Lord, I receive your healing and I will rise up today and walk into all that you've prepared for me. Amen and amen. And I just want to pray also with any of us tonight, if you're in this place and maybe you know church, maybe you don't know church, but you're here and you can honestly say, I'm not sure that I am a Christian, and I'm not sure that I'm going to go to heaven to be with God in eternity. I think I might just be so guilty before God that he might send me to a place of judgment forever. And if that's you tonight, you should know that God does not want anybody to go to that place of judgment, that he died on the cross to take your sins to the cross, to take them on forever, from now on forever. Every future sin you will ever commit, he nailed to the cross, and instead he gave you a brand new life, a blessing, a favor that God has bestowed on him for his obedience. He gives us to us because of our faith. And so right now, if that's you, if you want to be a child of God, just let's pray this together. Just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. You faced hell so that I would not have to go. And you rose from the dead to give me a home in heaven, a relationship with your Father, and a leading of the power of your Holy Spirit. Right now, Lord Jesus, I believe that I'm born again. Say, God is my Father, Jesus is my Savior, and the Holy Spirit is my helper. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. As we get ready to close out tonight, if you need to, you could spend some time at the altar and make sure you don't leave this place until you see Jesus and you hear him speaking to you about everything that you heard tonight personally. Amen. Praise God.